The world-famous Conservation Canine Camp will next be running in southeast Queensland, Australia, from the 21st to the 25th of August. Join us with your dog to start your journey into conservation detection. Visit padfoot.com.au to book your place today. From the Field is a new series from the Conservation Canine Podcast, where our very own conservation dogs person and ecologist Ella Watkins spends time working in the field with and learning from some of the best practitioners in the conservation dog sector worldwide. Over the next few episodes of the series, Ella will be reporting back on the work she's undertaking with previous podcast guest Richard Santos and Hera from Dogs for Nature, searching for grasshopper egg pods in South Africa.
Welcome to the Conservation Canine Podcast. This is episode 2 of our mini-series. My name is Ella and I'm here with Rita from Dogs for Nature. How are you?
Doing great, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. I'm loving life. This is the best. So you may remember Rita from season 2, episode 3 of the podcast, but just while I've got you here, start off with, do you want to give us a brief introduction, brief background on where you've come from? How you got here?
Sure. So I started volunteering in a Lisbon shelter, so that's Portugal. I started back in 2008, and I was volunteering, collecting dog poop and making sure all the dogs got fed, all the dogs got a good walk, and just shelter life. And Conservation Canines with the University of Washington was contracted to do wolf surveys in Portugal. And part of their job was to look for a dog that would match the project to work full-time. So they were looking for dogs in the shelters of Lisbon, and they found the dog I was trying to just let him be adoptable because he was a little tricky to deal with. And they chose to test that dog. He was Zeus, and he became the first conservation detection dog in Portugal, doing wolf surveys for the LifeMed Wolf projects. They invited, so Conservation Canines invited me to do the dog handling course in Seattle, in the Washington state. I went over, I did the course, and then I did shadow work for pretty much the next 3 years. I just spent my time going around handlers and see what I could learn from everybody around the world. And then I got my first project with Zeus back in Portugal. I got offered the handler's job for the Life project, and that was a year long. Yeah, and I've been working in conservation detection since then. Ever since. Wow. Thank you.
That's already an impressive start to your career. Being around dogs since 2008. And not just, your typical pet dogs. These are shelter dogs that you've really had to learn them and their personality to figure out the best steps forward for them.
Yeah, the thing with shelter dogs is, first, nobody cares. And second, the job needs to be done. You don't have any fancy gear or any fancy way of getting somebody to do the job for you. So if a dog needs to be vaccinated, he needs to be vaccinated. You don't have the owner facilitating and putting a muzzle on it. If a dog is injured, needs to be patched up, you need to figure out how. If a dog doesn't put a lead on to go for a walk or to go for the vet, for example, to the vet, sorry. Yeah, you have to figure your own way, and you have to come into an agreement with the dog in a way that you can both work out and come out in that situation the best way possible.
You've just got to make it happen.
Yeah, make
shit
it happen.
Done.
Get shit done.
Now, I've got some questions for you today, just about those looking to step into the industry, me, and just your perspective, I guess, on the best ways and what you've seen. What do you feel are the most appropriate skills and knowledge someone needs to have in order to work into the industry now?
Open-minded, accept criticism, problem-solving. read body language, no matter what animal or human. You'll have to, understand things without being said through a dialect, a language. Travel, like, be okay with traveling, be okay with different cultures.
I've been meaning to ask you this. How many languages do you speak? Because already you've thrown probably 3 or 4 in my face, so I'm just like,
No, I'm just fluent in 3, and then I understand 2 more, 5.
And that's French and
Italian.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then obviously you have all the dialects, but that doesn't really count.
That just gets confusing.
Yeah.
How have things changed for you since you've started in the industry?
Oh my.
I bring the loaded questions.
That just makes me feel old. Just bring back the back in my days.
Do it, I dare you.
We didn't even have proper service, phone service. Androids weren't still proper introduced to society. How things changed. Well, I do love the fact that everybody just started to communicate internationally. There's a very good communication channel out there. Like, you can reach out to anybody and people are cooperating a lot, which is not always the case in certain countries. So Europe, I found that is still a little behind from what I saw this year in Australia, for example. For you guys, it's the Aussies. Love the culture, by the way. Love the accent.
You have to tell us about that trip. Stay on topic.
So I learned that for you guys is already a job description, is already a job that has an income, has a, like, it's a full thing. For us, you say you're a conservation detection dog in Europe and people still, what is that? You walk your dog all day? That's it? I was like, not really, but it came a long way. At least people are starting to believe in the dogs. In the beginning, it was all still, can the dogs do this? Let's prove it. And there was a lot into proving that the dogs could do this and that. And now we could, there's still a lot of that in the fairway. But yeah, we can say that people are believing in the methods and things are, evolving in a good way.
What about, we've been talking about gear, equipment. How has that changed? Yeah. We were just talking about GPSs, and although we've gone backwards, we've also gone forwards.
Yeah, totally. So we definitely had an improvement, like, against heat, against cold, against paw cuts, like paw injuries. They developed the goggles for the eyes. There's so much gear and there's so much out there that can help your dog. Like against foxtails, we were looking at the nets the other day, the face covering. Yeah. Like you can prevent so much nowadays that you couldn't. You would have probably a reflector vest on your dog and that would be the most you could do. But now you even have Kevlar full vest for your dog in case it encounters wildlife and that is not supposed to. So yeah, there's just so much out there that can protect your dog and it's amazing.
It's quite important too, because especially as I've seen, we're not that remote here, but from your stories about the field work that you have done, you need to be prepared in case of emergency because you either cannot get to a vet or the vet is days away.
Totally. Yeah, Malaysia was that case, but just on top, yeah, Australia was like that. The island, if the vet wasn't available, if you couldn't reach to her, yeah, you need to be prepared for whatever it comes.
With that then, how do you think the industry is going to change in the future? What skills do we need to have to prepare ourselves for that?
I think people need to be aware of animal welfare. I think that would be my first concern. If you want to have a dog or have a program or be involved in a certain way, you need to know the basics of animal welfare. And if you're going to be a professional, you need to be the example for that.
Because that's still, whilst everyone's up to scratch, that's still very much a developing
field. Oh, yeah. You still see very basic needs not being met by very big programs.
We've touched on this a little bit, but what takeaways, what words of wisdom? How are you inspiring the next generation?
I'm not inspiring anybody. I just want to take puppies off shelters.
How do you get other people to take puppies out of shelters?
I like to do education work when it comes to if somebody reaches out and be like, oh, I'm in the area. Can we just do this talk to this group and see what it comes out of it? I love Etta performing ambassador work because she was marked as non-adoptable because she had a lot of energy and she was misdirecting it. And yeah, she couldn't even get a proper walk because the lady at the shelter was extremely good. She had a lot of will, but she didn't have the time that Anna needed. And I don't blame her. Anna works 10 hours a day and the next day is like, let's go. So anyway, Anna is pretty reliable on demonstrations and ambassador. Like when it comes to kids, she's adorable. So for example, in the shelters, Anna goes, let's say, into one of the kennels, and then all the kids see Etta as they first meet her as a kennel dog, as a shelter dog. And then we take her out, we do just a little game and questions and a little of obedience, and people get to understand that shelter dogs are not these crazy monsters that everybody thinks. And she can actually demonstrate, like make people see the difference.
So if just taking the time to understand the dogs,
totally,
and reaching out to other people, questions or experiences, or
totally, yeah,
there's always going to be someone out there like you and wanting to help. So
speaking my Australian version. Yep.
Speaking of which, you came to Australia and you missed me by 2 days, so I had to fly all the way to France to meet
you. Oh my God, don't even start me on that.
What were you doing?
I was just working for an eradication program on Lord Howe Island, by a security officer, dog handling. Yep. They had a big problem with the rats. The rats killed, I think, was at least 6 species on the island. And one of them was unique, endemic to the other. It was the wood hand. Mm-hmm. So at the brink of extinction, they were able to raise them. The wood hands, they were able to have a reintroduction program, have a breeding captivity breeding program. And with the dogs, they controlled. So there's only one way to get into the island. Well, there's 2 ways to get into the island: by plane, which is what most people do, and by your private vessel. And there's obviously the shipment, the cargo ship that comes every 2 weeks. So all of that, all the cargo and passengers that arrive to the island every single day are checked by the dogs for presence of rodents. Obviously, the passengers aren't the main concern, but cargo, the vessels and the ship is very, very controlled. So every single package comes through the dogs for them to smell for presence of rodents. And I was there for 3 months just because they needed personnel, they needed staff, because there was people sick, there was people on vacation, and they just needed an extra pair of hands. And they have four dogs. They have very cute dogs, Springer Spaniels and Cocker Spaniels. And they're awesome. And they also do, besides the checks, they also do settlement checks. So they sweep the whole island looking for rodents. And I think it was September that they're going to have their 2-year success check. So for 2 years, they've been rodent free.
That'd be exciting.
Yeah. Can't wait to see the... what comes out.
So 3 months, you would have learned so much in such a small space of time.
Oh yeah, different cultures, special language, lovable, lovely, absolutely. I loved it. I want to go back. And it was, yeah, different methods that you learn, different dogs, totally. Yeah, the breeds are just bomb. They are just a bomb to work. And obviously, for different individuals from each breed, it kind of, yeah, you have to learn fast or you lose the bow, lose the train. So, I did learn a lot. I learned how they present all the targets. I learned how they the shipment is... the logistics of it is amazing. They got that nailed in a very unique way, and it works beautifully. Like, everything gets into the island within 48 hours and all gets checked and delivered. It's amazing.
So they've really developed an efficient system.
Oh, yeah, for the shipment. Oh, yeah. That it works amazing. Yeah. It's very, very nice to see.
At least something's working for someone.
Oh my, you'll get there as soon as you're back home. Esky, let's
Esky's
go
in a world of pain. I've been wanting to ask you this for a little while. What has been your toughest project so far?
That's a very good question. You mean physically, like,
oh, just what has just physically, mentally, what challenges have you had to overcome? Has Hera thrown the biggest problems in a specific place?
No. So I would have to say Malaysia, but not because the project itself. Like, Hera didn't...
What were you looking for in Malaysia?
Tigers, leopards, and clouded leopards. Scat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all scat. Yeah, it was just a culture. Like, we were hiking and camping and hiking and camping. And it was just a lot of culture difference. And it was amazing. I think I told you this before. I came out a different person. Mm. I think Eric came out a different dog. she learned to accept. Yeah, she in that group. So the range we were into the we went into the forests, and there was 9 rangers with us and 3 natives that are called Orangusli. And the knowledge that they have about their own forest and the way they hunt, the way they communicate, it was unbelievable. I was completely, like, my jaw dropped. And so the Malaysian culture, they don't really see dogs as, for their culture, dogs are dirty. So in the beginning, there was a little bit of concern that the guys, the rangers, wouldn't accept Etta, but we just took that off the radar right away. We talked about it, and they said that as long as Etta didn't go over to them and lick them or just touch them, they would be fine. So Etta couldn't care less about their presence. She just wanted her ball. And so, yeah. It was amazing to see how the group came out as a group, because we all went in as strangers and we all came out definitely trusting each other. I trusted those guys with my life. And we didn't even speak the same language. They couldn't speak English. I couldn't speak Malaysian. No. that was fun. Yeah. Malaysian. But yeah, not because the dog did wonderfully. Yeah.
What about your proudest job, your proudest moment of yourself, of Hera, of the way that the project came together? You've got to reflect on your achievements. You've come a long way.
I am very proud of the grasshoppers themselves, because they're just so tough to pinpoint. And today, yeah, you saw today, like, it's just another target for us right now. And it was 6 years of hard work. And because we can only work for this short amount of time, because they only live for a month, it's a lot of pressure for a very little time frame. And it's an endangered species. They are small. Like, we don't want to step on them. We don't want to be tossing more problems into their lives, although they do nothing.
Which is proven. That's just not Rita's opinion.
No, yeah, there's a book about it. There's a full book about it. Oh yeah, that's another thing about dog handling. Do your research before going into the projects. Yeah, know your targets. Know the researchers that can help you. You're just a dog handler, so you need a pair of experts just brainstorming with you the best way to come out. But yeah, my proudest moment, I think the grasshopper would be, because we put so much time and effort into it. And yeah, a hopping moving target, come on, that's just, it's not exactly poop that's going to stay there.
The data looks quite impressive.
Yeah, the data looks awesome. The map.
Now, what about your dream job? What are we putting into the universe?
Oh!
Where do you want your next project to be? We'll make it happen.
Oh my God, don't tell me that. So yesterday we were talking about Scotland, and a Scotland job came up. But yeah, I don't... Etta is not a hunting dog, so she wouldn't be doing eradication anyway.
So we're going to find you a conservation project in Scotland.
I would love to.
I'm sure we have connections. We can make it happen.
To be honest, the Baltic, like anything from Norwegian, Denmark, Finland would be a dream job. It's just, yeah, one day.
We'll make it happen. Well, thank you for your time. We'll check in on this mini series a little bit later.
Yeah.
But for now, we need to do some grasshopper research.
Yes, we do.
Thank you for listening to the Conservation Canine Podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, please like, share, and subscribe wherever you find us.